Yes, I'm Sandy Timms. I'm with the National Program of Cancer Registries at CDC. And I'm going to talk to you today about some work we've been doing to look at the interoperability between the EHR and the public health disease surveillance, the cancer registry use case. And Wendy Sharber and Sanjeev Baral just highlighting Northrop Grumman contractors that have been working with us on this project. So Meenal actually showed this slide, the scope of the cancer surveillance data reporting. And I just wanted to highlight that for cancer registries, one of our primary sources of data is the hospital. And hospitals have, most hospitals have a cancer registry in them. However, there are some small hospitals that typically do not have the resources to have a cancer registry. So the state registry has to go out and get the data from those hospitals. With the change in healthcare and the way healthcare delivery is moving, cancer registry has to do a lot more to get these cases into the system. So we have to reach out to the standalone pathology laboratories, to standalone treatment facilities, to private physician offices, a variety. And the round circles that you can't read represents a different data source that we've identified. So we won't have to go through all that, but just the magnitude of how we need to, in cancer registry, reach out to these multiple sources. It's pretty overwhelming. So go forward. So I want to go through the use cases for the public health cancer registry, kind of things that we know we need to move forward with, and how we could use the electronic health record. For the first use case, a patient has a mammogram. It's identified a suspicious lump in her breast. The pathologist in the pathology laboratory analyzes the specimen and dictates the findings. The pathology laboratory information system identifies it's a cancer that's reportable and transmits that data to the hospital cancer registry as well as to the state cancer registry, and all this using nationally adopted standards. And actually, Wendy highlighted the HL7251 is one of the standards we're actually using. So the state cancer registry creates a record of this patient's information automatically in their system, populating the appropriate data in their record. Another use case, in the hospital, a patient has a lumpectomy. The pathologist in the pathology laboratory there in the hospital analyzes the specimen and dictates the findings. They find that the case, it is indeed a reportable cancer, and transmits this information from the hospital pathology laboratory to the hospital cancer registry and to the state cancer registry. The hospital cancer registrar will create a comprehensive abstract of the patient's cancer information. So that patient may have received multiple services within the hospital, not just the pathology. And so the registrar's job is to actually compile all that information to a comprehensive report that would then be shared back with the hospital EHR. So we're not just keeping it inside the cancer registry system, but the idea is getting that information back into the hospital's EHR, as well as transmitting that report to the state cancer registry. So the patient's discharged with instructions, and they make an appointment for to see an oncologist. The state cancer registry links the hospital cancer registry report that they sent, the comprehensive report, to other to the electronic pathology report, so they have that confirmation along with the hospital report, and then possibly some other reports. If you imagine this patient may went to a standalone treatment facility or whatever, the state registry has to compile all of that and make a comprehensive analyzable record of the patient's cancer. This record then is used to provide incidence data to monitor trends and to identify patients for clinical trials. And again, with the EHR transmissions, data is made available much sooner. The physician and the patient decide on a course of radiation and then continues treatment with recommended chemotherapy regimen. So the physician uses the cancer registry and the EHR information to help identify the appropriate treatment plan. So it's the idea of using the cancer registry at the level of clinical care for them to make decisions. The patient received 6 weeks of radiation at the hospital, radiation treatment therapy clinic. So the radiation therapy clinic actually, the EHR transmits that information to the hospital cancer registry and to the state cancer registry. Both registries will update their systems, and then this actually provides more complete treatment information to both the clinicians and researchers. And the final use case is that the patient will begin chemotherapy at the oncology clinic. Again, both registries will update their systems with this information, again, providing more complete treatment information to our clinicians and researchers. We will have ongoing reporting from the primary care provider regarding annual checkups and any additional tests. So the cancer registry can provide more timely survival rates and statistics, incidents. So within the cancer intra-community, we actually have very good standardization. We have the National Cancer Institute Surveillance, Epidemiology, and End Results Program. We have the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer, our CDC NPCR program. Across the board, we all work together under the NACER, North American Association of Central Cancer Registries, to define a standard case definition, a core data set, transmission methods for this data from the hospital cancer registry to the state cancer registry and then on to the national program. So as far as us working together, we have very good standardization in the registries from that perspective. Challenges. Resources for collecting the data is very time-consuming, resource-intensive, and there's a high risk for error in transcription when we go to identify and collect the data on cancer cases. There's a delay. A significant problem we have is a delay in the availability of the data. There's a big time gap between the diagnosis of the cancer and the time when the data is made available for analysis. In fact, it takes about 2 years after the end of a diagnosis year for the data to become available for analysis. So we need to work on that. And completeness of reporting. You know, to date, we've really gotten good reporting from hospitals. That's set and very good. However, non-hospital sources, such as physician offices, the radiation treatment centers, and so on, there is not consistent reporting, and we know of some cases that are being missed because they're not ever going into a hospital. So they're diagnosed in a physician office, and we may never see that case. So this is why we need EHR to help us find these cases. So standardized data exchange for non-cancer registry data sources, there are no standards for a lot of this for data collection, transmission, and reporting. That's why we need to work with clinical care with the EHR to get that data using standards that are already identified. We actually have a limited data set because it is so expensive for us to go manually collecting and processing this large amount of data. You know, we really need to find a better way to get the data. And a lot of our registries go out and manually collect this data. They're doing a lot of paper. So we've got to find a better way to do this. Some of the solutions, re-engineering data collection processes so that we can make use of the EHR, thereby reducing the financial and staff resources that are required. There's a lot of people time that go into the cancer registries to make this good quality data that can be used. And actually, you know, the work Meenal highlighted in Arrow, that's kind of what we're doing. We're actually trying to look at how we can re-engineer the cancer registry business so that we can do a better job and implement the use of the EHR and automated mechanisms to get the data. And again, we believe this applies both to clinical and the registry settings. We also see harmonization of our existing cancer registry standards with IHE, integrating the healthcare enterprise, and HITSPE, Healthcare Information Technology Standards Panel, to connect our cancer surveillance workspace with these national health IT efforts. We also feel that we need to adopt the IHE and HITSPE use cases, profiles, and transactions so that we can leverage the work that they've already done in this area. There's a lot of work there that's been done, and we do not need to create another standard. We need to use what's there. So, and then certify, we see a big need to actually see CCHIT certify electronic health systems as meeting certain criteria and standards. So it's not just about developing the standards, but we need to make sure the EHR systems are actually implementing the standards that we've identified. So implementation, real-time reporting of basic incidence information from the hospital and clinician EMRs to the cancer registries is something that, if you made it down to the IHE interoperability showcase, we actually did a demonstration of reporting from the pathology laboratory to the state cancer registry, as well as from a physician EMR to the registry, using the IHE constructs and HITSB constructs there. Also, real-time data transmission of more complex data from the hospital EMR to hospital registries, where we include stage and treatment information. And again, I mentioned leveraging the transaction standards and exchanging data between the hospital and clinicians, using the IHE forms processing, as well as CDA transmission. The electronic pathology laboratory reporting to cancer registries, Wendy talked a lot about this, but implementing messaging standards, we actually, the IHE demonstration we did, we used the HL7 version 251 message, and the messaging workbench is a profile that actually can validate the compliance with the standard. And we use FinMS, and we also are encouraging the LIS and registry vendors to implement the HL7 251. One of the big things that we've done is working with IHE and with NACER to harmonize the standards that we have come up with in pathology. There is an IHE anatomical pathology technical committee there, and we actually took the NACER Volume 5 standard that Ted referred to and harmonized that with what IHE Europe has already there, and was able to harmonize that. It went out for, it published in June 2009, just recently, and we actually identified there's a couple of things there where the U.S. has to have a U.S. Realm specific standards for U.S. because things are a little different in Europe and France and other places. And so, for example, race. The U.S. requires the collection of race data here. However, it's illegal to collect race data in France. So there are some differences that will have to be across countries. But the neat thing here is that we actually have a standard that's not only going to work in the United States, but it'll work internationally. So looking at it from a bigger picture, we'll be able to share data across the world. We also have been working with the College of American Pathologists on the electronic cancer checklist so that we can map the data from the checklist to the cancer registry data elements that are in the NACER record. We are looking at and actually have implemented in EMARC Plus some text mining capability using natural language processing that will help us in the text reports identify the diagnosis of cancers. So it actually, you know, rather than having a registrar have to read every single report to identify that this case is reportable, we have used the technology to help us weed through those. So aligning the cancer registry with national health IT standards, we are implementing national data exchange mechanism for cancer registry data. We have a project going on right now that is looking at using HL7 CDA for transmitting the cancer abstracts from the hospital to the state cancer registry. And we are really looking at trying to achieve the semantic interoperability of our cancer data elements with the national standards. So we're actually looking, NACER is doing this, looking at what data is collected and how those standards that are in the NACER record are consistent or not consistent with the HITSB standards that have been adopted. We're continually looking at the security and privacy standards that HITSB is coming out with. And then we're looking at the public health case reporting interoperability specification that HITSB has out. collaboration with national, international initiatives that we're involved in. The Public Health Data Standards Consortium, we were one of two public health programs that were completely described in this white paper, Building a Roadmap for Health Information System Interoperability for Public Health. So we feel pretty excited to have actually gotten to be highlighted in this big paper, and we actually, Public Health Data Standards Consortium helped us kind of move forward in the IHE world, and that's kind of, we've actually spent a good bit of time working with IHE in several of their committees. They have a patient care coordination committee, and this is actually the committee we started out in with a pathology profile, and then we actually found out there's an anatomical pathology domain, and we moved over and worked with the Europeans, and it has just been amazing to see how collaborative and how all the vendors and the different committees work together to actually get the job done. And patient care coordination actually oversees the retrieve form for data capture profile, and we, in our IHE demonstration, we used the RFD to transmit the data from the physician EMR to the cancer registry. It was amazing to see Greenway be able to, they have their software out in 27,000 physician offices, and they were able to take their system, take a form using RFD. There's a form, we created a form using the continuity of care document as the framework, and be able to identify the elements that we need for cancer. And we were able to, Greenway was able to develop this form that was housed by outcome as a, so the EMR did not have to develop a whole new screen in their software to be able to report to cancer registry. They were able to call this form from a forms manager and be able to populate that form automatically from their EMR data, no data entry there. The only data entry that was required was when we added a field specifically for cancer registry that said, what are your plans for this patient? And we want to know, are you sending them to the hospital? Are you going to send for path lab work? Or and so they were able to implement that. We started working with them in like 3-4 weeks ago or something, and they were able to just get this implemented. And if you got to see that demonstration, you could see the patient go seriously from their system to our cancer registry system. And it was so exciting to see. Some of the other things that we're looking at in the quality research and public health domain, there's a retrieve profile for execution that we're looking at using. We have the anatomical pathology reporting to public health that will be, again, tested at IHE, some of their big meetings that are that's coming up, Connectathon, and then at HIMSS. There'll be a HIMSS showcase here in Atlanta in, I think it's April, March or April. And then they have another committee, IT, the IT infrastructure, that is the framework for actually getting all this done. It's the nuts and bolts underneath that nobody wants to think about when you're a public health advisor. I just want to see it all get there. We do a lot of work with HL7. These are some of the committees there. And we also are working with HITSB on the Population Health Technical Committee on the public health case reporting use case. These are some websites. Meenal talked about CyberView, the NACER website, where several of the standards, the NACER Volume 2 standard, the NACER Volume 5 standard that Ted mentioned, are all there on that website. SEER is also working with us in all of this. So that's it. Any questions? Yes.
You talked about use of natural language processing.
Yes.
To read the text. How well does that work in the group system?
Okay, the question was about natural language processing. How well does it work? And we've used, I may go to Sanjeev or Wendy, but we've used something called NEGEX, which, so if you've got a term, not adenocarcinoma, then it would, highlight that so that you wouldn't even look at that particular case. But I'll let them, because they've done a lot more research on natural language processing. Wendy and Sanjeev.
So we have a table that has all the terms that we search for, uh-huh. And basically this processor searches for those terms in the text, okay, and then the NEGEX algorithm will try to see if the term is negated. So like if the term is not negated, like it comes up in red, it's saying that the indicating the presence of of that term, is that testicular cancer, and then if it's negated, like it is highlighted in blue, saying that the baby was absent. Mm-hmm. And then we basically use a table of search terms, and then we also use negation tables, like pre-negation table and post-negation tables, that basically describe what negation terms we use. And as far as the performance accuracy of and
right.
quality of that, Wendy.
It's unfortunate they point to me because I can no longer do long division. So the result here is a little bit difficult. And so the search term that they put together of cancer terms is about 1,100 terms, and we probably get 98% to 99%. Our biggest problem is the transcription errors that are being occurred in the pathology labs themselves when they misspell the terms. And so we have optimized MedX because there's people tend to spell certain things that work as well, and they tend to go the same way. And so we put those in as variation. And then MedX is doing very well. We find that if we probably have a false, I can't tell you.
Yes.
Well, for this whole process, how long has it taken you?
Okay.
A year, 2 years?
You mean with the IHE work?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we started about 2 years ago, okay? But now let me go back, because while we started 2 years ago with IHE, we started with NACER. NACER did a lot of work initially on developing the HL7 message specification. So I want to emphasize that a lot of work went into, you've got to develop the standard, the specification first, if it doesn't already exist, because obviously you don't want to do something that's already there. But they spent years, actually. The 231 message is what's right now in effect, but the 251 just went to the board for approval. But it took years for them to get the HL7 message, you know, adopted.
I think it's 3 years.
3 years to actually do the HL7 specification. 5 years. And you think IHE, actually, I think that's probably, you know, IHE, there was a year there that when we presented this, we kind of got set back because we got in the wrong committee. We were new, and they, you know, and when we took it, there was some disconnect between the anatomical pathology and the patient care coordination. So there's still some things being worked out within IHE as far as coordinating across all the different domains. So we've kind of been learning where to go.
With our, if you know what your standard is and what you want to collect, IHE is competent enough and HL7 is competent enough and mature enough that we plan on taking our 3-week demonstration of Greenway and Outcome just flung together
yes.
as a quick thing as a demonstration. We will propose that in October. We will publish it for comments in June. We will publish it for trial implementation if it is, our public comment is positive. In August, we will test it the following year, which would be 2011 at the Connectathon.
Right.
And get it validated and said, yes, this is a good standard. It works and does what it says it's supposed to. And then it is available for everyone
yep.
to use. So the IHE process is about 18 months.
Yep.
And it's your community work, however long it takes
yes.
to get that community work.
Yes.
Yeah, and the
right.
community work is it's a long in terms of calendar time because it's a collaborative process.
Right.
It's a consensus process. So, you work, you put in some work, and then you wait for, like, monthly calls where people review and they talk and they decide whether they agree or you got to tune it up, and then another month before you can talk about it again.
Yes.
So
yeah.
the real time is getting the community consensus down in eliciting from the experts the information necessary, and then you can just go forward and kind of blast the
right.
standards.
Right, right, right.
As
yeah.
As you mentioned, this is North America.
Right.
We also have Canadians sitting in this one.
That's
and
right.
So we had probably 83 central registries on
yes.
this one stand.
Yeah.
And there are all things that are done
yeah.
differently.
Yeah. And then the actual piece of harmonizing that with the IHE Europeans was amazing. I mean, they were great to work with. Wendy went to Portugal and met with them, and then came back, and we've had a great working relationship ever since. And you know, there's some give and take on both sides, and I think that's just a wonderful collaboration there. So
just the strongest recommendation from everyone is go through IHG and find somebody whose name sounds like baby friendly, and they call them and say, "This is what I want to do." They will point you to the documents. There are a lot
yes.
of documents.
Yes.
Chances are you'll find what you want.
Already there, the continuative care document's there, the retrieve form for data capture, it's there. And so the idea, they were able to just pull this, you know, we told them what information we needed from the electronic medical record. They told us what they have in this continuative care document. And then they were able to just populate this form for us.
The hardest part is
what you want and have agreement across your community. I think that's probably the hardest part. Agreement across the community. This, because you don't want a form for every single state. I want this. You know, it needs to be a consistent request. Yes, Steve.
We had a long list of national initiatives, and I noticed it did not include the CFDE. National Identifiable Condition.
Yeah. It's not on there, but we're there. Yes, yes.
And the supporting position statement that
yep.
has the
yep.
case reporting criteria in
yep.
it.
Yeah, Wendy.
If you can comment on
yep.
how that and how the upcoming development of the technical guidance identification and the upcoming inclusion
yeah.
of cancer data in
yeah.
ASS.
Well, I may look at Wendy for that. I mean, we have done some work in that area, and Wendy is our CSTE lead on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the technical guide should all fit together. I mean, I would assume that the technical guide would follow, you know, the same. It should. But we're not the only ones developing it, but if we have our way and have the input that we want, we would expect all of these things to be harmonized in concert with each other. Does that answer your question, or maybe not?
I think
CSD calls National Program of Cancer Registries, the North American Association, a couple of independent CTRs, Central Tumor Registries, contributed to it, and they were very happy to have our input on what the diagnosis of cancer is.
Yes.
You may know that it only has 8 listed in the current.
Currently. That's got to change.
And that has had a universal recommendation to change that to what the U.S. law is of all cancers.
Yep.
Right. And
yes.
the original position statement before they pulled out what's going to go in the technical guide separate had, you know, also the limited ICD-9 code. So, presumably,
right.
we would recommend that the ICD-9 code be the same one that's already been developed for some of these other projects, and that is the list
yes.
for the case definition before they have to go to ICD-10, which is a whole other issue.
Right.
But, so again, you know, all of these works should fit together in concert. And we also recommend that we actually pointed to the NACER volume within the position statement, so that, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel and putting everything in there again. We said all the data elements are defined by this standard setting body, and the position statement should point to it.
Any other questions?
And the other thing I should say is that, you know, the HIPC doc, and I forget which one, right? It's public health use case.
Case reporting document. Yeah.
Thank you. As I understand it, we'll be pointing to those CST
yes.
position statements, and that's why, you know, we definitely wanted to be at the table and defining
yep.
the position statement. So again, this
yes, it all ties together.
Position statement will define what the data elements of the case.
Yeah, all ties together. So.